everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Let's Get Personal podcast, where we have conversations about everything. My name is Jordan Antle, the host of this podcast, and in today's episode, we have two featured guests, two fast-growing fitness coaches, cold expert enthusiasts, and masters at calisthenics, I hope I said that right, John and Brad Mayo.
What's up?
Hey, Jordan, thanks for having us on.
Hey, man. Hey, guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to spend some time here on the podcast. So welcome. So first off, I want to start talking about the whole jumping into the cold ponds and all that stuff, because I love that stuff. I think a lot of people who follow you are big fans of that. But before I really dive into all these questions, would you guys kind of mind explaining to everybody who you are and what you guys do, just so people can get a little more familiar with you guys?
Definitely. So first things first, I'm talking right now. This is John, just so we get voice recognition.
Yeah, and I'm Brad.
Yeah, so there we go. So now people will know the difference between the two boroughs, because I think we might sound similar. I like that you say ponds. That's a cool Newfoundland thing that I discovered when I was over there. It's like, oh, every lake is a pond. This is awesome. So basically what we do now, we are online trainers. We used to be competitive kayakers. We were really into that sport, got to like the national level at that, suffered some injuries, quit that, and then we shifted into the training world. So we had always been coaches, like growing up, like coaching younger athletes, you know, developing athletes. Now we pretty much just work online full time doing online personal training.
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So would you say that, so you guys were essentially coaches first before, I guess, you took to Instagram and just social media in general?
Yeah, exactly. So we had coached kayaking our whole lives. We had always been really into sports, you know, pretty athletic growing up. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting into traveling. I took a semester abroad in university, went over to England. Then I kind of continued to travel for the next couple of years. And then while I was in Australia, my brother and I kind of not even intentionally got into calisthenics at the same time. So I had worked with a guy who had trained under Ido Portal. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he was Conor McGregor's movement coach for a long time, like leading up into a lot of his big fights. So okay. I kind of learned that method and I started training like that. Brad started getting into more of like the skill movements. Like you started getting into like handstands,
different things like muscle ups. And the main shift that I made and why I switched over to kind of the more calisthenics and kind of gymnastic style training is me and John both got so stiff and tight from doing the same kind of repetitive sport of flat water kayaking and just kind of doing all of the conventional trainings, weightlifting. And we were just so young and so not flexible, and we just realized we needed to fix our bodies and grow in that area, and that's kind of how we made that shift of training.
Yeah.
Okay. That, you know, that's really interesting, because I would say I've only recently started getting a little more physical in what I do. Like I've only been going to the gym maybe 2 years now, 2.5 years. Yeah. But I think it's an interesting take to, you know, because like for people who lift heavy and just kind of go to the gym and I guess do that kind of basic standard, like do cardio, lift heavy and leave. I think it's interesting to actually look at the calisthenics. I'm not saying that right, am I?
You're doing pretty, that's pretty good. Calisthenics, yeah.
Calisthenic, man, that's such a strange, you know, I didn't even really know what that word was until I found you guys, if I'm being 100% honest with you.
We've debated on shifting our name to just Mayo Bros instead of having that there, but I don't know. It kind of
I think it stands
us.
Out. I think it helps you guys stand out.
And thanks. A lot of people might look it up, like, what is that? Then they learn something. They learned a new word. So.
Yeah, true.
I just think it's really cool that you guys do that, because you guys do a lot of like body mobility training, and I mean, I'm always actively seeing that you guys are very committed to being fit and, you know, working on yourself every day and all that kind of stuff, which actually allows me to segue into the question I have. So everybody's got, you know, a story about their fitness journey, and I know you guys kind of explained a lot about, you know, how this sort of started, but what was the initial direction that brought you guys to where you are today? Like, was there, you know, something that happened in the past? Did you guys just fall into being fit and it just kind of grew, would you say, or did it come from something else?
So with, I guess there's two different kind of answers to this question, because one of them would relate to the fitness side of things, and the other would relate to kind of like the entrepreneurial side of things, and like actually trying to make a lifestyle business where it's like, we're doing what we love and we're sharing our passion with other people and, you know, actually being able to live off of that. With the fitness stuff, we just kind of like, my dad was really into sports. Like he was always like, you know, throwing footballs around the backyard, like all that good stuff. And then he kind of just was like, you guys are going into paddling. And that was just, you know, complete immersion into kayaking. And it's like, I know the, you know, in general, like the stereotype people think of like kayaking is like, you know, relaxing, paddling through like fjords or rivers or whatever. But flatwater kayak, it's like, it's really intense. We were training like twice a day for most of our lives. And it was pretty like overwhelming, honestly. But that kind of like enabled us to develop a lot of discipline that I think transferred over to every area of our lives. So yeah, with the athletic background and like, you know, just being passionate about physical activity, it was just, you know, being immersed in that sport from a young age, that was really the catalyst for that. And then in terms of like the entrepreneurial side of things, I think it was honestly just reading books and hearing people say like, listen, you don't have to go with the flow, you know, just like you're doing, like do something unconventional and just be like, do your own thing, really.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, you know, I think that's really inspiring to take something you love and find a way to do those things and also turn it into a way of living off of that. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting that we're living in a time now where people can do that. Yeah. And just choose to, cause like you guys are all like, I mean, to be quite honest, I try and live as physically fit as I can. Sometimes the motivation's not there. And I'll pop on Instagram and I see you guys lifting or, I mean, even jumping into cold ponds and I'm slight or lakes or whatever you want to call it. And I'm a little more motivated.
that's the goal.
I would like to ask though. So do you guys have like a secret to keeping your motivation high? Is it kind of like just deeply ingrained in you guys at this point? Or do you guys have like secrets for people out there who, I guess, struggle with getting themselves physically fit?
Well, I think that, you know, I think that being in sports from a young age is definitely advantageous. And it's really a lot of luck, because it's like whether your parents kind of make decisions at that age. So that was definitely an advantage there, just being, you know, having the opportunity to participate in sport, which not everybody has, which is, you know, unfortunate. But the other side of that is, I think, just trying to, and this is going to sound pretty cliche, but just like, you know, goal setting, like actual proper goal setting, and always trying to keep those goals at the forefront of your mind, because, you know, everybody has those days. Like even, you know, even The Rock has those days where it's like, oh man, I'm not feeling it today. And like, you know, Joe Rogan and like all his motivational guests that like, we listen to that podcast, and it's like, everybody will admit to you, it's like they have those days where they're like, yeah, I just was not feeling it. Like I had a voice inside my head saying, you know, just take a day off, and you know, days off are totally fine and they're encouraged. But if you take too many in a row, then it's hard to get back on the train. So I think just like keeping, like setting reasonable goals for yourself and saying like, I want to be able to do, yeah, whatever it might be, like maybe a 30-second handstand or like a 200-pound squat or like whatever those goals might be, and just like, or run 10 kilometers, whatever they are, and just like keep those in your mind at all times. And then not just think about like achieving the goals, but think about how achieving those goals are going to help you in other areas of your life, like maybe make you more confident, more mentally clear, more driven, more self-disciplined, that kind of thing.
So essentially, yeah, for sure. Okay. So essentially having like clear goals in mind and not only committing to them in your mind, but physically writing them down and doing mm-hmm. what you can to keep that, I guess, around every day.
For sure. Yeah. Writing them down is definitely key. And also just like chasing that motivation from other people, because I used to be the kind of person, I don't know if this is true for you, Brad, but I used to be the kind of person where it was almost like other people's like feats would discourage me. I was just like, oh man, they're doing something like I can't even like do that. Like this, I suck, like whatever. And it would just like kind of get me down. And then I kind of just made a decision to be like, man, I'm not going to be like that. I'm just going to like try to use it as actual inspiration, like, and have that contagious factor of like what other people are doing. So just following interesting people on Instagram who are just doing things that you almost can't even fathom. Like David Goggins is a good example. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's like an ex-Navy SEAL guy. Jocko Willink, another similar guy, who they're just up at like 3:30 every morning, just running like, you know, half marathons and like lifting weights and just unreasonably crazy stuff. And like, you're just like, wow, like what I'm doing, I can do, because like these guys are doing way crazier things than me. That's what I like to do.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just starting off the day too on the right foot, like a lot of, you know, as you know, we're into cold exposure. Just even just starting off the day with a cold shower, doing something difficult right at the beginning of the day. And not only that, cold exposure has so many different benefits. We'll get into that later. But one of the main ones is an energy boost and mood elevation. So that's one of the main things that really starts off your day right and just kickstarts your motivation and keeps that momentum going for the rest of the day to stay on track with your other goals.
I find this all really fascinating because, and I find it really interesting that you guys talked about that, especially with the Instagram, and we will definitely get into the cold exposure. But I'm really glad you brought up the whole thing about following people on Instagram or whatever, kind of like surrounding yourself with like mentors and just constant motivation and people you look up to. I think that's not knowledge that is shared enough to a lot of people. I really think a lot of people just kind of follow a lot of trash on social media and like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this at all, but social media like triggers dopamine, and it's kind of the reason what gets people stuck online a lot and it kills motivation. So I think it's really cool you guys brought that up, because that's actually something that I kind of discovered myself. I mean, thankfully other people are starting to do that, but I just kind of started surrounding myself with people I really look up to, and it's really cool that that's something you guys do as well, and I'm really glad you brought it up.
Yeah, definitely super important.
Are there some people you guys follow that you'd recommend for some people to also, I guess, follow for motivation?
For sure. Like, honestly, those two names that I just mentioned, David Goggins, Jocko Willink, Joe Rogan is like a pretty motivational dude, and his podcast is fairly
love his podcast.
Yeah, his podcast, like, really, that was actually one of the main catalysts for me too, just completely like changing the way I live. Like, I was just on school exchange in England, and I started listening to his podcast, and I was like, 2 to 3 hour episodes, like, who is this joker? And then I started looking into it, and then I just got so hooked, and I was like, holy shit, just transformed the way I saw the world, for sure. But I'm trying to think of other motivational people. Can you think of any? There was a guy who was on Rogan's podcast recently who like walked across Antarctica and like hiked all the tallest mountains in like record time.
Oh, are you talking about is his name Wim Hof?
I was just gonna say that too because
too, he's good. This guy's not Wim Hof. I can't think of his friggin' name. But he was on Rogan within the last couple months. But if you Google hike across Antarctica record or something, like he'll pop up. But yeah, and then like trying to think of other people that are motivating. That's the thing too. It's like there's a fine balance between, you know, spending time seeking motivation and then just like turning off Instagram or YouTube and just being like, okay, I gotta get my shit going. And I think that's a balance a lot of people struggle with. I've definitely struggled with it before.
100%,
and just
kind of,
And like, cause it's like any time of day you can go on Instagram and you can see 20 people who are just doing like way cooler things than you're doing in that time, in that moment, because you're just looking at your phone. So you're like, you're naturally going to feel like, well, shit, I'm just here looking at my phone and all these people are doing this stuff. And that makes you, I don't know, it can make you kind of antsy. So I think it's definitely important to do like digital fasts every once in a while, where it's like, you just kind of like completely disconnect, and you don't have to like go back in the woods or whatever. I like doing that, but you can just like shut things off and, you know, just say, okay, I'm actually not going on social media. One helpful thing that I've done recently is I took the spot where Instagram used to be on my phone, so right in the main dashboard, and I replaced it with my meditation app, and I put Instagram like 3 pages deep in my phone. So it's like I have to consciously be like, oh no, that's the meditation app. Oh, I have to scroll over to Instagram, and it helped me so much.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. I love those words. What'd you say? Digital fast. I love
digital
that.
Fast.
That's
yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah. No, I think that's really cool you bring that up, because I actually recently kind of had that realization about following too many motivational speakers and just kind of like diving deep into all of their stories and their posts, and like, it's kind of like you get to a point where it's like, you, if you're indulging too much and you're still not doing anything, you know, it's like, what's the point of following all these people to motivate you? And here you are still on your phone for like 2 hours being like, oh, that's cool, I, that's inspiring. And then like, you're just like, you feel like trash after you get off your phone and you're not going out and doing anything.
Yeah. I think that's why I don't really think I've ever read an autobiography, and I don't, they just don't grab my attention. Like, I have friends saying like, oh man, you should read like LeBron James's biography, or like, you know, Michael Jordan, or like all, who, name whoever. But I just can't, I can't get into it. I can't commit a lot of time to just like reading about somebody else. I don't know. I just, it makes me feel weird.
That's fair enough. You know, I think you said it right. I mean, you got to find that balance. And I think digital fast, which again, like, I love that. I really think that's something more people should do, which I would ask, how often would you say you do a digital fast? Like, and like, explain a little more, I guess more in depth when you mean by that. Like, do you just get off your phone for like 5 hours, or like a day or a week, or?
Yeah, so definitely, like, I actually haven't been doing many. Like, I do a lot in the summer where I'll just like go on like a camping or like a hiking or like a meditation retreat or something like that, and I'll just straight up leave it at home and like be without it for like, you know, 2 to 3 days, sometimes longer. But you know, just throwing it in airplane mode for like, you know, 5 hours a day or something like that, even can be really helpful.
Some people have luck, just like, say Sunday is kind of the day where they, you know, shut off their phone for about 5 hours, just kind of having a set time where maybe that would be family day or something, or whatever you're doing, but just setting out that time and doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Well, I mean, honestly, I'm learning a lot here myself, and I personally am pretty bad for this. So hopefully I can kind of take this into consideration and not look at my phone all the time. But now I do actually want to segue into, I think, some of the more very unique things you guys are doing in terms of, like, you know, jumping in the cold water. I mean, you guys got recently interviewed by CTV. It was CTV, right?
Yes, it was.
That was pretty cool. You guys are getting a lot of attention. I have to personally say I enjoy the comedy you guys throw in when you're like doing these skits, when you're jumping in and out of the water. You know, you're digging holes in the ice and you're just like acting like you're like getting getting like pulled in or something's got you. I enjoy that.
The inner wannabe actor in me comes out somehow.
No, I think that's really interesting to take something so unique and then also just like have fun with it. I think that's inspiring.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, of course. I do want to talk more about that though. So like, how did you guys get to that point? I mean, like,
yeah,
you know.
So when we used to be kayakers, obviously in Canada the lakes freeze and then you can't really paddle anymore. So we would always like go down to Florida and we train down there and we kind of just like escape the cold. So we got fairly accustomed to just like escaping the cold for, you know, a month or two at a time. And leading up to when the lakes would freeze and when they thaw out, we'd be on the water. And it was just brutal. Like, we're just so horrible at dealing with the cold. Myself especially, I think. Like, I was just, like, sucked. Like, I couldn't deal with it. My hands would get cold. I would just start telling myself stories about, like, oh, man, like, I can't deal with the cold. I suck at the cold. Like, I paddle slower in the cold. I always get beat. Like, so I just had this huge negative attitude towards cold weather in general. I always was just like, I don't want to live in Canada. I want to like live in Australia or somewhere warm. I can't deal with this crap. I don't like it. So I was in the habit of doing that. And then I read actually The 4-Hour Body by Tim Ferriss, and he has a short section in there about cold exposure, and that kind of like sparked my interest. And I love swimming and stuff, and like I've always been a huge fan of water. So I was kind of just like, okay, well, I'll just start trying it. So after jogs in the fall, I kind of started just jumping in, and my brother was, you know, wondering what I was doing, and I was kind of explaining it to him. And then I found out about Wim Hof. So then I was, you know, just like even more evidence added, because he's really about like, you know, utilizing the scientific method to prove there's a lot of fantastic benefits with cold exposure. So yeah, I kind of just took it from there. And then once we started the Instagram, we were just going to plan on focusing strictly on fitness, but then we were like, well, we should also focus on lifestyle and biohacking and stuff like that too. So then when the lakes froze, we were kind of just like, well, let's keep up the cold exposure and just start hacking holes in the ice, and those videos will probably do well. Like, people will probably be like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, that's definitely what happened with me. I remember when I was still living in Toronto, when I came across you guys, I was just like, what the hell are these guys? Like, I had never honestly seen anybody doing what you guys were doing. And I mean, also being from the East Coast and like, you know, we have a lot of ponds and lakes here. I could never see myself or anybody being at a pond unless they fell through the ice by accident.
Yeah.
So it's so here you guys are just kind of walking, just shirts off, like just, you know, acting and stuff. Be like, oh, what a beautiful day, and just plops right in the water. It's really cool stuff. But I would definitely, you know, I'll definitely admit this right here, right now. I was never actually too big into cold exposure. In fact, I didn't really know much about it. But when I started following you guys and seeing you guys that this was a thing, it all of a sudden started to, like, it started to pop up more around the things that I was, like, the people I was following. And because I've been constantly listening to podcasts about life and fitness, because, like, I personally want to be a lot more fit than I am. And I really like the whole idea of biohacking. So I think, so first off, thank you guys, because
glad to have introduced you to it a little bit.
Yeah, you really have. I mean, you really have. And when I found Wim Hof too, because I listened to a lot of Impact Theory. I don't know if you've ever heard of that podcast.
Hey, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, like I love just hearing all these new things about how to live your life. And I've been practicing it. You know, I'll get in the shower. I'll turn the tap down a little bit, you know.
Nice.
If I'm feeling it, sometimes I go all the way, and sometimes I feel like I'm in shock.
Yeah, it is really tough, but once you get in the habit of it, it's really strange. Like, I find myself almost every day I get in the shower and I do start it warm, and I'm like, I probably won't do it today. But every single day I end up doing it. I don't know. It's an addiction, because it really does change the whole way you feel, and it's almost like a drug. I'm addicted to the cold now, so you just got to kind of keep at it.
Yeah. So for the people listening who, you know, are really weird about the fact that you guys do this and are also intimidated, I would say, to jump in, I mean, to take a cold shower, let alone jump into a frozen pond, what would you say to somebody to kind of, I guess, convince them that cold exposure is something they should try? Like, I mean, the benefits and the way to go about it, like what it can do to transform their life. What would you guys suggest?
Yeah, so I think it's a pretty well-known fact that, you know, people nowadays, we have a lot of luxuries that we didn't used to have when we were, you know, lesser human beings. So I think, like, when you actually try to, like, take a second to think about the things that you can endure that you no longer have to, the cold is very high on that list. Because obviously when, you know, back in the day when we were, you know, trying to survive in the elements, we came up with ways to try to deal with the cold, obviously, like animal furs and all of that. But we had to deal with the cold a lot more than we do now. Like, there wasn't the option of just, you know, entering a nice heated house. So we've kind of evolved to be able to endure more cold than we currently are. And I think that's one thing you realize quite quickly when you start to implement cold exposure, is that you can deal with it better than you think. Like, you're told by, you know, society and just the world at large that, like, the cold is bad, it should be avoided, bundle up, you'll catch a cold, all that stuff. And the whole cold catching thing is a myth. Cold exposure can actually boost your immune system. That's one of the benefits. You know, it can help with fat loss, your skin and your hair health, like Brad mentioned, energy boost, mood boost, combating depression. Yeah.
Circulation and, you know, post-workout muscle inflammation. The list goes on, and I think that's the main thing. Once you learn about all these benefits, it's more, you know, you'll be more motivated to do it, because no one's going to do it if there's no benefits.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. You kind of just have to, like, try it and see for yourself. That's really what we're all about on our page, and, like, in how we coach, is that, like, self-experimentation is super important. Like, you can read research papers all day, and like we'll have a lot of people message us. I was just in the other day in a discussion with somebody about like, oh, well, I haven't seen the research on like proven benefits of cold exposure, intermittent fasting, or any of that. And it's like, well, like you can read all the research papers you want, but unless you try for yourself, because you can, you know, this day and age, you can find research arguing anything. You like, we have flat earthers, so you can really go down any rabbit hole you want, but until you try it yourself and get that, you know, subjective experience for how it makes you feel, I think that's kind of like what's most important.
So on the topic of like biohacking, and I guess talking about like, let's say, depression, because I mean, I feel like depression and these kind of things are becoming more and more common for people nowadays. What have you guys really found and used, I guess, to utilize, or I should say, like, combat against, I guess, your like times that you guys feel low energy or depression?
Yeah, and I think depression is one of those things that it's like a scale, you know. It's like people, everybody at certain points in their lives, like, goes through like fluctuations, just like the waves of life. And I think the severity and you know, the actual duration of those episodes are what like determines who has like clinical depression, who has maybe like seasonal or circumstantial depression. But I find that like days that I'm just like, you know, yeah, maybe just a bit down or foggy or depressed, if I do, like in the winter, I'll do like an actual polar dip and like jump in the frozen lake, or a cold shower in the warmer months. But if I do that, it's almost a guarantee that I'm going to feel better than I did before I did it. It just kind of like shakes you out of your comfort zone. You feel a little bit more connected with nature. You just feel like you're accessing some different area of your brain. So, I mean, I can say that with confidence that like I've never done cold exposure and regretted it ever. It always makes you feel a little bit better. The amount that it makes you feel better can vary. Like sometimes it's like so drastic where I'm like, wow, I feel totally clear now, I'm totally motivated. And sometimes it's just a little bit, but even just a little bit counts, I think, in the grand scheme of things.
So just so that we don't have people listening to this and start jumping into ponds, frozen ponds, you know, off the bat, I do have this question because I find it a little interesting myself. Would you recommend that people would have to build their way up to get to that point where you can, I guess, do what you guys do? Or could I literally fly over and you guys just like say, all right, let's hop in and I'll be fine? Do you think they should really build themselves up before it's safe to jump in a frozen pond or lake?
I don't think they should build themselves up. I think they should just do it. No, I'm just joking. definitely work your way up to it for sure. That's why, you know, the shower is the best, because you have your hand on the control. Like you are dictating how cold it gets. And I mean, the chances that you're gonna, you know, freak out in the shower and like slip and fall are like, I'd say it's pretty low if you're in control. Like obviously people with like, you know, if you have a heart condition or stuff like that, I would probably, you know, caution against it. But I think if you're an average healthy person, you're going to have no trouble dealing with it. It's more so going to be your reaction to it. And I think most people's reaction to the cold is just those, like I mentioned earlier, those societal norms telling you that it's bad. But if you can kind of get over that, and that's why I think meditation is interesting when you know, pair it with cold exposure and you start to realize that, you know, whether you're feeling like pleasure or pain, warm or cold, it's all just like this experience that you're having. And it's all kind of like the same thing. It's just what you're telling yourself about it that's really making you like feel, or like, you know, feel pleasure or feel pain or suffer or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, definitely, I would say starting with a cold shower is the best. Ice baths are pretty challenging, but I would say that would be the next step. Just like, you know, turn a cold bath and fire in some bags of ice, and then obviously the, you know, ocean dips or lake dips under supervision with groups of people where you're not just out there alone. Like, I mean, I'll do that because I just don't care. I'm pretty comfortable. I'm like, whatever, I'll just go do whatever, because I know my lake, where I'm at, and I'm not like worried about it. But I would say that, yeah, if you're going to do it, like do it with like a spotter and like somebody who's there who can help with like safety equipment, which is, yeah, the one thing on our page where it does look like pretty dangerous. Sometimes we're just out there like messing around, just like no safety gear at all. Just like, whatever.
It does bring me to the question, though, how much is too much when it comes to like cold exposure to the level that you guys are at, like to go into a frozen pond, because I can't imagine that be healthy to, you know, be there for too long, I guess.
Yeah, we definitely always say that, like, we're proponents of short duration cold exposure. Now, someone like Wim Hof, he would argue that you can literally train your mind to do anything, like hike Everest in shorts,
like he did,
no shirt, like he did. Yeah, swim underneath. But I think even him, if you watch his video of like swimming under the ice for, I think it was supposed to be 70 meters, but he passed the hole and his retinas froze. He passed the hole because his retinas froze, and they had to drag him back. When he got out, like, he didn't look good. He was flopping around, like, so. I think that, like, you really need to build up your tolerance, and yeah. So I would say that, you know, we always say between like 2 to 5 minutes or like a 90-second cold shower, stuff like that, just enough to like get you that burst. But then if you want to push your physical and mental limits, then you can kind of go for longer. But I wouldn't recommend that people stay outside shirtless or like in lakes for like more than 10 minutes. Like, I would say that, like, just learn to listen to your body. I think that's the most important thing. Like, know your own limits and know when enough is enough for you.
Okay, cool. I'll remember next time to not be out there for too long. I struggle. It's hard enough for me to like literally step outside and like go to like a friend's hot tub in the winter. Like, that's that is the extent of my difficulty. But
yeah, I saw you had a story the other day where you were like, where is the snow coming from? You're like kicking the snowbank or something like that.
Oh yeah, there was a frozen bush.
Yeah.
there's a small part of me that wants to be an actor too, and it just comes out sometimes.
We'll make it someday, guys.
Just gotta believe. I did want to actually ask you guys about fasting, because fasting was actually something that I adopted from other people I used to follow, and it really helped me out. I think one of the hardest things was like convincing people that it really works.
That's how it kind of started with me and John. So John got into the cold exposure first before me, but I got into the fasting before him, and he didn't seem like he was too into it at the start. I think John just, you know, likes food a lot, and he hated the idea of not eating food for like 18 hours every day. But once he started to see some benefits I was getting from it, I think he thought I looked a little bit more lean, because I definitely, I went through a little phase of gaining a little bit of weight. But yeah, the fasting snapped me right back into it, and it just made it really easy for me to kind of maintain my lean body weight. And then John started to give it a try for himself.
Yeah, I kind of started to get into it unintentionally. I was on a road trip around the States, and I just was unintentionally doing it. I didn't think about it until like a couple of years later, but I felt really good. I couldn't determine why I felt so good. But then when I got back home into my regular eating pattern, I just kind of went back to feeling the same, and I wasn't feeling as elevated. But mm-hmm. you know, the main thing with fasting for me is I find it helps me travel a lot better. Like, I don't have to eat crappy plane food anymore. I can comfortably just like push myself, and it's a really good self-discipline thing too. Like, it makes it so easy to just say no to, you know, that third beer or that next cookie or whatever, because you're just so used to saying no to food. Because it's like, if you're doing a fast, it's so much easier to just say, I'm actually fasting right now. Whereas if you don't say those words, a lot of people are just kind of like, well, why, just, you know, do you want one more? It's like, no, like, I'm not feeling like it. But if you just straight up say like, I'm actually doing a fast, it's like people, especially nowadays, because fasting is becoming more popular, they're more likely to respect that, I think. But I think I just saw Brad building his self-discipline, and I was getting jealous, and I was like, what the hell? Like, I want to try that. And then, you know, the mental clarity that I feel from it, that's the big one for me. And just, you know, I feel like I have more energy in my workouts when I do them fasted. It just, you feel like that self-sufficiency where you don't need to depend on food. You enjoy it when you have it, but you're not like, your day doesn't become consumed with like thoughts of, oh, what am I going to eat next and when, which is what I think a lot of people, including myself, are like.
Do you find, do you guys both find when you fast and then, you know, you feel that mental clarity? Because I definitely can say I feel that as well, because I try and actively fast myself. Do you find when you eat something that might not be the healthiest thing, it does not necessarily even take out, but perhaps something at home, a little sugary or something, just not the best for you, do you find an instant, like a whole, like a polar change in your mood, like literally an hour after eating that. Like, do you find that?
100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's one of the most interesting parts about it, is because you're kind of doing an experiment and you're isolating a variable. And if you're just eating something and you can kind of notice, like, shit, yeah, like you said, wow, I only ate this and, like, I feel really weird now. I do notice that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the reasons I like fasting too, because if I'm like 16 hours or 18 hours into a fast and I already did, you know, the work of not eating all day long, I don't really want to destroy that momentum by the first thing I eat is like a bunch of crappy food. Like, it kind of puts me in a state where it's like, I've already done a good workout today, I've already done my fast, I should probably fuel my body with some healthy food. Mm-hmm. So it gets me in that right mind state, and it's just,
yeah,
I love it.
Build that momentum up.
Yeah, because I've been on this weird fitness journey, but also like this wellness journey. I'm trying to figure out ways to like conquer, I guess, my own, I wouldn't call it self-destructive behavior towards my like motivation, but I kind of find to, like, you know, sometimes I'll fast and then I'll kind of, you know, I'm a little hungry and I'll turn to something I shouldn't have had, whether it be, you know, I fasted for 18 hours, maybe a little bit of McDonald's isn't a big deal. And then it's like, well, yes, it kind of makes you just feel like utter trash. So I think it's really interesting that's just, you know, that's a thing. I think that's definitely a self-awareness thing as well.
For sure. And I think Gregory O'Gallagher, he's a Canadian fitness dude, and he's really into fasting. And he kind of talks about that, how when you are fasting, it kind of matters less if you're eating crappy, because you are kind of like you're low on fuel, obviously, and like you need to fuel up. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I can kind of see his logic in terms of like, well, you're depriving your body for a long period of time, so,
and it may be harder for you to like go over your like daily calorie intake for the day, because, you know, mm-hmm. It's almost like your stomach seems to shrink, so it's harder to pack in all that food in a 6-hour window. So even if it is unhealthy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that quality food trumps the quantity of whatever. McDonald's,
yeah, I don't think you should focus on the fasting as, oh, I'll just fast every day and, you know, eat crap every day. That, yeah, definitely, yeah, you know. But yeah, you might be able to get away with a little more cheat day and, yeah, cheat meals. But
I think it's like, yeah, it's definitely a balance, but even I've been fasting for a long time. It's like, I'll go through waves, maybe like a week or two at a time, where I find it really damn hard. And it's like, usually I don't have to think about it, but sometimes I'm just like, damn, I want to eat. And like, I think it's okay from time to time to be like usually my window for a long time, it was 14 hours and I upped it to 16. Now my usual window is 18, but sometimes, mm-hmm, I'm just like, you know what? Today I'm doing like 13. I'm going to like have brunch with my girlfriend or whatever. And I think it's okay to do that. But just understanding that if you do fall off your usual window, it's going to be harder to get back on, because, you know, especially if I have a night out or something, like I have a couple drinks and maybe I eat late the next day, I am starving. Like, it's almost like my body's just like, what did you do? Let's get proper food back in there, swap it out, like, this is bad. So I always try to keep that in mind, but I feel like that makes it easier for me when I am, you know, going out with friends and maybe there's a bit of peer pressure to go a little bit too hard or something like that. It makes it easy for me to be like, okay, I'm not going to drink after maybe 11 p.m. because then I can eat earlier tomorrow. So it almost, it's like a little, yeah, it's a little assistant.
I know what John means there. Like, because the earlier you stop eating, you can eat earlier the next day. So it's just because, mm-hmm, sometimes if I eat really late, I feel bad for eating and I end up not eating till like 4 p.m. the next day. And
which is obviously like, you know, yeah, if you have an unhealthy relationship with food, I would recommend maybe like not doing fasting or at least starting slower, because obviously it's like, we have our relationships with food are fine. So it's like, I feel like it's okay if we're like, ah, oh, damn, I shouldn't have eaten. But for some people, obviously, that have struggles in that area, that probably wouldn't be good. So I think it's important to keep in mind too.
Yeah, it really seems to be like, you have to be consistent when it comes to these kind of things, or you just kind of fall off the radar, kind of.
For sure. Consistency is key.
Definitely. I would like to ask you guys though, and I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, you guys have really built up this following with being, you know, fitness coaches and just, I guess, inspiring people to be fit and to live a life of wellness, happiness, fitness, and all that kind of stuff. But I do wonder though, what kind of, like, were there struggles? Have there been struggles or hardships climbing up to being, I guess, a fitness and wellness influencer online?
No, nah, it was easy.
No, simple. Yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah, it's definitely hard because it's like, so we kind of were just like, all right, let's just start Instagram. We'll post twice a day and we'll see if we can kind of like turn our training business into like an online thing. And it was just, yeah, it was posting two times a day for a year. Now we don't post as frequently because we're actually focused on like the business side of things and actually, you know, providing people with value on a really personal level, because I think that makes more of a difference. Because in the beginning we were like, okay, if we can just build a following, we'll create an online product that's really good, and then we'll just like talk about it on Instagram, and then all of our followers will buy it and they'll all be better. But it doesn't really work that way. You can have like, you know, I think when we launched our first product, we had like 30,000 or 40,000 followers, and we sold some, but it's like even looking on our platform and seeing who's actively using it, a lot of people just buy things and never use it. That's just the reality of most purchases. So then we kind of shifted to, okay, let's just like do more of an online thing, like a one-on-one thing. But we had no clue what we were doing. Luckily enough, like a marketer approached us and he was like, I'm going to help you guys. But it was a grind for sure. It was like, it was really hard. Yeah. And there's definitely points where we're just like, is this going to work? Like, can we do this? In terms of like fitness, all the time you go through phases where you're going through waves where you're just like, damn, I'm not feeling as fit this week. Like, what's going on here? And like your motivation might be down. But if you can just like, you know, get through it and say like, all right, like I'll be better tomorrow. Like, I'm not going to like let this drag me down. Like, I'm just going to get through this wave. This is just a down wave. But I think that's just kind of the life of somebody who's into fitness and like the entrepreneurial waves. I think they're just kind of like the same thing. And you just, life is just waves and you just got to kind of ride them, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you mentioned Greg O'Gallagher earlier. And he was actually one of the first people that kind of helped me get into fitness. And I don't follow a whole lot of, you know, I don't want to say fitness gurus or coaches or anything, but just from like what I remember when I started getting into fitness myself, he kind of used to like bring up a lot of like, I guess he was kind of getting into a lot of drama because a lot of people in the fitness industry were kind of like not agreeing, or like they were just pushing back on, I guess, his methods and advice. And I just have a, like, I wonder, like, have you guys ever had a similar situation with what you guys do and what you've recommended to people when it comes to fitness? Like, have you had a pushback on other, I guess, on people in the fitness industry or I guess even people in general?
So I mean, we'll definitely get messages from people from time to time being like, fasting's dangerous or like cold exposure is dangerous, like all this. But yeah, in terms of like actual people that we work with, no. Like, it seems like once people start, because a lot of the things we promote is like, first off, just like basic joint mobility, like figuring that out and just figuring out like, okay, how can I get all my joints moving properly before I dive into like, you know, maybe like heavy lifting. Like, I can see why O'Gallagher gets that pushback, because a lot of what he's promoting, and pretty like from what I know, I think it's like, you know, 3 days a week, like heavy strength training, mixed with intermittent fasting and walking. And I don't actually know a whole lot about it, but I can see why it gets pushed back, because I think it's really bad that people rush into weights. Like, we personally don't have anything against weights. Like, we are Mayo Bros Calisthenics, but that's kind of a little bit misleading, because we definitely think that a well-rounded approach to fitness is important, and strength training is part of that. So we do weights once a week. Like, you know, we'll do some deadlifts and some squats, lunges, Jefferson curls, some weighted mobility, stuff like that. But definitely first, I think mastering your body weight, or maybe not mastering isn't the right word, but just, you know, getting comfortable in your body and moving around different planes is really important. And having the mobility and the flexibility to get into these different positions is a really great way to not get injured. So I think when people start to like work with us or take our programs, they see that we're not just like your typical, like, yeah, just like put your head down and get it done. It's really about like learning to listen to your body, experimenting, and figuring out exactly what's going to work for you and how you can kind of create your own lifestyle fitness plans, so that you know what to do day after day to feel your absolute best.
I love that. That's great. That's some great stuff.
Thanks.
So guys, before I get into my last question I got for you, where can the people listening to this find you guys?
Instagram is definitely our biggest one, at @mayo_bros_calisthenics. We just recently started a YouTube channel. We haven't been super active on that. We've been slacking, but we definitely want to get more content on there. Our website, mayobroscalisthenics.com.
But yeah, all our main updates are definitely on the Instagram page.
Yeah.
So yeah, Mayo. We should pop up if you just search Mayo_bros. So
yeah, that's the main one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. And then we have a link to our website through there, where we have a value we have a value video that people could watch, just explaining some stuff about
basically like our method. Like, it's a video on our link bio, and it's just kind of explaining like the 7 stars of fitness and how we view fitness. And the reception on that's been really great, and people seem to, you know, find it pretty valuable. And then at the end of that video, people actually have the option to like book a call and actually chat with us about like what we do and like how we work with people. And if they're keen to actually like dive into our 12-week program, then we talk about that. So yeah, that's kind of how we do it.
Cool. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, here is my last question. What influence do you guys want to bring to people's lives?
I think, well, I'll answer. You can answer first if you want.
You answer first.
Okay. What
just an argument at the very end.
Yeah.
I think just inspiring people to want to really get in touch with the absolute best self-care habits that they possibly can in order to just feel better on a daily basis, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if you're into that. And just, yeah, just trying to help people get the tools to feel better. Because I think, and we didn't really talk about this at all, but I think, you know, meditation is a huge part of that equation. And that's something that I'm realizing in my life right now, that's just crucial to actually understanding how to determine how you're feeling and, you know, what makes you feel good, what makes you feel bad, and actually just like getting in touch with that. But yeah, I think just trying to inspire people to really get curious about how they can feel better. Because at the end of the day, I think if you're feeling better, you're just going to be a, you know, better member of society, and you'll be more productive, and you'll just bring more value to the world at large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I just think most people just don't really realize how good they can actually feel. I think they kind of forget, because you're so used to maybe being stiff or being sore every morning or feeling like crap every morning. But when you really dive into that and try to correct it and just make progress every day, it's just, you won't be able to stop. Because if you're waking up each day feeling better, you're going to want to keep doing those things. So yeah.
The momentum. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome, guys. Well, John, Brad, you guys have been awesome guests. Thank you so much for joining me here in this podcast. Thank you guys for sharing so much awesome advice. I'd love to also throw in there that you've inspired me to take a cold shower, I think, after this episode.
Awesome. Good.
Awesome, Jordan. Well, yeah, man. Awesome. Thanks for having us. It was, you know, we've been chatting on social media for a while. It's great to actually be able to have a conversation.
Yeah. Really, it's nice to finally talk. Yeah.
Definitely. Awesome. And we love what you're doing. Like, you know, when we first started connecting, like looking at your stuff, it was kind of like, damn, this guy's doing it. This guy, you know, huge YouTube channel, super cool, getting on the Instagram, grinding away. Love it.
Thanks, man. I mean, I find that I'm kind of in a weird place right now with like what I'm really trying to do online, but you know, hustling is what it's all about. And you guys are super familiar with that. So but again, thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure, and I really am excited for all this advice and knowledge to impact people's lives, and hopefully you guys inspire a lot more people to follow in your footsteps.
Thanks, man. I'm excited to see your podcast grow. It's wicked, and I think you should keep it up.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all so much for listening to the Let's Get Personal podcast. Be sure to check out John and Brad Mayo. They are an incredible team. They're both brothers doing something very unique, extraordinary, and very inspiring as well. So be sure to check them out. Be sure to follow them on their Instagram. And be sure to follow us here on the Let's Get Personal podcast. If you guys enjoy this podcast, be sure to rate us on Apple, on Stitcher, subscribe, and be sure to listen for more. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for watching. And until next time, have a great day. See ya.